numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Barcanada here at the D, the Barrage, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. You still good? You all right?
Yeah, I'm great, man.
We're going to talk play-in tournament odds.
That's right.
Coming up. Not playoffs. Play-in.
Playoffs?
Play-in? We'll do that coming up. Read a few more of these. Nikki Betts 303. We get tweets. I was traveling with a sprained ankle and standing on the moving walkway. It was an oasis in a desert filled with painful steps. It allowed me to not be wheeled around in a wheelchair to my gate, which I was happy to
completely
avoid.
Fine and acceptable.
Nikki, of course, yes. That's acceptable.
Yeah, completely.
Of course.
Fine. Yeah.
Mike Zills, Duke 90. How do I get money down on Jesus Christ for NFL Comeback Player of the Year? If I can get it down at long odds, all I have to do is convince him to play football. Sure, anyone who has come back from the dead would win. If we can't get down, let's try the villain from Silent Rage. Bobby Geddes. I can picture JVT Briskly walking on the walking side of the speed boost, flying by all the people on the standing side, just giving them the I'm not mad, just disappointed look.
I don't know if JVT has that look.
Just to follow. Just get JVT talking about most improved player. That sounded like a 500-calorie burn.
Oh, yeah.
That took some energy, man. Best weight loss plan ever.
I just told Gil off air. I'm like, that rant is good at least twice a year just to set him up on. I don't necessarily agree with him or disagree with him on it, but I love hearing him rant about it.
And Nick Kalamoutousakis. Guys who use the urinal right next to you when there are other urinals open. Oh, yeah.
Well, when the parking lot one was brought up, I was surprised that one hadn't been tweeted in already.
And John Blum, can we parlay Wilson to the Raiders and Sierra to have a Vegas residency? I don't know if her songbook is big enough for a residency.
Yeah.
Though I'd go see it. And here's the best one of all. We'll get to Kai McKeon. But this is the best one of all. You ready for this? This is from Tim Lawson.
What you got?
We don't make enough of how many people still spell your name with one L no matter how well they know you or interact with you. That is the greatest one ever. Kelly, this applies to you too with the EY at the end of Kelly. I have known people for 2 or 3 decades who still have not noticed that there is a second L. I never say a word because I want to see how long it's going to go.
Oh,
because the one day that they get it right, I'm going to tell them, I go, you know, I've been tracking this for 27 years and you have finally noticed.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I think some of the ones that happen to me more often are just comical to me. Like, I get a lot of the, like, emails of, hey, Miss Bidlin, how are you? I like when I get nominated for a lot of, like, women in sports things, which crack me up.
Do you get nominated?
Oh, yeah, like, I get random emails sometimes.
Congratulations, by the way, on
stuff
the nominations.
Like that. Yeah, stuff like that. But my favorite, though, Gil, is when I get people that I've known them long enough or well enough that I screw them up for the rest of their lives because they're like, I met a female Kelly yesterday, and my brain can't get by like the name being weird to me. And I'm like, good, I've ruined you. I've ruined you for your whole life. Good.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, he is not the George Washington of Three Man Weave, but he certainly has the best hair of the bunch. It's Kai McKeon, everybody, from Three Man Weave. How you doing, Kai?
I'm good. I appreciate the name combo. Kyle has been what's been dubbed on me quite a bit
Kyle.
In my life. So I appreciate the name conversation.
That makes sense, yeah.
Is Kai short for anything else? No? Just Kai?
Just Kai.
Just Kai.
Kai, yep.
So that's the classic Kai's on the phone with someone, like, you know, the DMV or something like that. Yeah. And they're like, clearly I didn't hear the name right. He must have said Kyle, and it just cut short.
That's right.
You agree that Matt Cox is the George Washington of Three Man Weave? Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, okay. Right down to the wooden teeth. Yeah, correct.
Okay. Right, that's exactly right. The wooden teeth. His teeth are blackened. All right, let's do this, Kai, in the same way that I did this with Matt yesterday. We'll go conference by conference, the markets that are up. We'll do it chronologically, starting with the A-Sun, which started yesterday, had 2 really competitive games. Do you have a bet in the Atlantic Sun Conference Tournament?
Not really. I think EKU is the right choice. Obviously, they're the heavy favorite. If you want sort of a longer shot pick, I think it'd be Austin Peay. I think their odds have come down a bit because everyone has sort of the same idea. But the best individual playmaking backcourt in the A-Sun, DeMarcus Sharp, probably the best one-on-one scorer in that league, maybe one of the top individual scorers in the country. I just think that travels far in March, so that would be a team I would look at from a longer shot point of view.
All right, 3 conference tournaments start today. Horizon League, Patriot League, Sun Belt. Yesterday we did have a play, I believe, yes, from Matt in the Horizon League. He liked Wright State. Do you like anything in the three tournaments that begin today?
Yeah, it's funny. For future purposes, Wright State, yeah, that's who I would go with for the Horizon. I think Colgate is going to win the Patriot. I really don't think anyone's close in that league, and they are heavy favorites for a reason, but they just dominate that conference. They've won it 6 straight years, regular season title at least. And the Sun Belt's a crapshoot. You would think it's JMU or Appalachian State. I think Southern Miss is not a bad flyer. I don't think Arkansas State is a terrible flyer. That league could get a little bit wacky past the top two seeds.
Yeah, James Madison plus 120, App State plus 180, and Colgate remains a minus 250 favorite in the Patriot League. All right, what about tomorrow? Tomorrow, the Big South, the Northeast, and the Ohio Valley, they all commence.
Yeah, nothing really strong there. Ohio Valley's interesting. A three-way tie in first place for that league. Little Rock has a ton of talent. They probably have much better odds, or at least longer odds, than Morehead State, who's probably the favorite in that league. Morehead State, best team in the league for sure. But Little Rock might have the most talent, so I'd probably lean their way from a futures perspective in the OVC.
All right, let's continue with this week. Again, all these conference tournament odds are out there. Missouri Valley and the West Coast Conference.
Yeah, Missouri Valley, I think it's Indiana State's to lose, but there's a lot of good teams in that league. That one might be worth a flyer past Drake and Indiana State, so maybe a Bradley if you're interested in that sort of thing. But I think one of those three teams win. Northern Iowa if you want a super long shot, but I really think it's going to be a top three team.
Anything from the Southern or Summit rounding out the week?
Summit, again, I think it's South Dakota State, but UMKC is not a bad flyer in that league. Ended up getting second, but I still think they're like 7-1 to win the conference tournament. Few teams have been as hot as they have in that league down the stretch. Marvin Menzies, fantastic coach. SoCon Furman is not a bad bet, in my opinion, in terms of futures odds. We know that team has had success before, and they have a great backcourt in SoCon.
I lied. One more just got posted from this weekend. The Big Sky begins this weekend. Eastern Washington, the short shot, but barely. They're plus 215. Weber State, plus 275. And Montana, plus 310. Northern Colorado, not far behind, at plus 550.
Yeah, stay away from Montana. I think Money Williams is hurt, so not interested in that one. Weber State is probably where I would look. Love Ewash. Love how they schedule difficultly in the non-con, but I think Weber State's the answer with Dylan Jones.
Okay. Do you prefer, just on a personal level, you prefer this week or next week conference tournaments? Next week, right?
Next week, yeah, next week.
Of course, okay.
It's 100% conference tournaments next week. I
just didn't want to, I wanted to see if I got the too cool for school answer. Like, no, I prefer I prefer the America East. Okay.
Right.
What about today in college basketball? What did you play?
Yeah, two plays here. Tulane. I like Tulane, plus 7.5 at South Florida. Scary. South Florida is one of the best ATS teams in the country, and at home, they've won 14 in a row straight up. That's the longest stretch in the country, but I really think Tulane's a lot closer to them than the records suggest. This team is not 4-12 bad in the AAC. They have talent. Ron Hunter's a really good coach, and they do not quit. I think they will be up for this game. South Florida, their shooting regression has to come at some point. It hasn't yet, and the three-point shooting offensively is maybe for real, but I just don't believe they can hold teams 29% defensively all season. Tulane, I think Kevin Cross is a big matchup problem. I just hope they get out on shooters in their zone. I hope they box out. It's a scary side, but I like them at plus 7.5.
Okay. Those are the two you said? The two?
That was one. The other one's Florida State over. Yep, Florida State over.
Okay.
Seminoles blazing fast in the ACC right now. I think they can score easily inside. No real rim resistance for Pitt. And then I think Pitt gets buckets. They don't turn it over. No empty possessions for them.
Okay, less than 2 weeks away from Selection Sunday. We do this college basketball formula, and I was saying yesterday when we did the weekly update on it, there might be, and we don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but by formula, because at least we have some guardrails to determine this, and it's not just our opinion. By the guardrails of the formula, this might be the most wide open in terms of the number of teams that could actually win the national championship. Do you, when you step back, do you view it that way? Does it seem to you like that this year, that it hasn't quite been like this ever before?
Yeah, not since I can remember. I think there are tons of title contenders this year. Tons meaning know, almost 10, perhaps, which is not something we've said in the past, or it's a clear cut, maybe two or three. I think it's wide open this year. It's going to be a really fun tournament.
And who would you place above the fray? Like if I said to you, okay, all right, that's great. It could be 10. Pinpoint two for me. I'll hold you to two.
Yeah, UConn, I think, is an obvious answer. They really have little weaknesses. I think they're a good answer. Man, that's a tough one for a second one. I'm going to say Purdue. I know the narrative out there, but I'm going to say Purdue for my second team there.
Last question, then. I'll ask this a different way. Give me the team or teams that you feel like, once the tournament starts, has the widest variance of outcomes, meaning you could see them making a deep run into the Final Four, or you could just as easily see them getting knocked out in the very first round.
Yeah, how about Gonzaga? I can see either way. I can see Gonzaga making the Final Four. I can see them bowing out in the first round to a 11 seed, if they're gonna be 11, 10 seed, 12 seed sort of thing.
Okay. Gonzaga's a great answer. I thought you might go Kentucky or Alabama or a team like that as well. They would qualify
both
as well?
Those are acceptable answers, of course. Yeah,
acceptable
Kentucky,
answers.
That'll be one to watch for sure.
Yeah. All right, Kai, enjoy the rest of this week, and then we'll get to the good stuff next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Gil.
My man, Kai McKeon, everybody, at KY_3MW if you want his personal, or if you want the three-man weave Twitter themselves, it's 3MW_CBB. We'll come back. Among other things, we will talk more National Basketball Association. But right after the break, as a matter of fact, specifically, we'll talk play-in odds, not playoffs, play-in. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Numbers game live from Bar Canada here at the D. Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter,
check out all the predictions for the smaller tournaments, including the Horizon.
The love child of Bill 80. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Jason H11 sent us a video of a Paris moving sidewalk in 1900.
That's awesome.
Those people are dressed. That's amazing.
I just tweeted back at Jason, but I would spend all day on that thing. I mean, what a luxury item it must be. I don't even know how many pennies it must cost back in the day to ride that. I would just ride around all day with my top hat, laughing at everybody walking.
With your monocle?
You don't have the money to afford this moving sidewalk.
By the way, these not enough is made of all morning long. There's so many of them.
Yeah.
Just want to read this one more. Corbin, I like to think I'm a pretty considerate person in a lot of ways. I live in an apartment with an elevator. Was getting off on my floor with my dog, and some elderly lady is nose to nose blocking the door to get out and stares at me like I'm the issue.
See, like that happens.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's a good last one.
Like
Sorry,
you get those people that are so prepared to get on the elevator they don't even. Like, their mind is blown that someone's even on it.
Clone bone. How about people that are checking out in a grocery line decide right before they're finished being checked out that they forgot an item and hold the line to go get that one item? Oh, that's a great one.
Do they still allow that? Like, I mean, I feel like every supermarket only has, like, one register open
anyways. I've never seen them say step aside.
You know, they're all self-checkout asking for tips these days, you know what I mean? So, I feel like when I go into Smith's or something around here, there's, like, one or two registers open. I'm surprised they even allow that still.
Jordan Pagel, doesn't Dr. Bob have a conference tourney system that usually fares well? Something like teams with a 15 to 20% conference win percentage are stronger play on versus teams with a 30 to 40 win percentage. Jordan, he does do particularly well in conference tournaments. We will have Dr. Bob on to discuss just that. This is his time of year. Conference tourneys.
Nice.
Oversight on my part that we haven't had him on already, as a matter of fact. Okay. Bob is he's very reclusive these days.
Yeah. He's got a lot going on.
He's got kids.
Yeah.
I'll get him on here.
That's a lot going on.
Be like, Bob, come on. I'll tell you the time I didn't talk to him for 3 months, and I'm like, how you doing, Bob? It's been a long time. He goes, my kid is terrible. So he didn't say terrible. All right, play-in tournament. Now, remember, pardon me, this is how this works in the NBA, and this ended up being a great addition to the NBA.
It really did.
Pardon me. All right. So top six teams in each conference, once the regular season ends, they go straight to what we call the playoffs. But the seventh and eighth seeds per conference, Kelly might have to take over here, they are determined by play-in tournament, by the play-in
Correct.
Tournament.
Correct, yes. Seven through ten. Those seeds will all face off against each other. Nine and ten play each other first, then seven and eight play each other. Nine and ten, loser gets bounced. Winner advances to play the loser of the 7-8 matchup. The winner of the 7-8 matchup automatically in as your seventh seed. Winner of that 8-9 seed goes in as the 8 seed. So if you're over in the Eastern Conference right now, Gil, we got the Bulls minus 1,000 to be in the play-in tournament. And I really can't argue with those odds because it's felt like the whole season that's exactly where they're going to end up. Pacers minus 390 right now. 76ers minus 240. Hawks minus 215. Then we switch over to plus money. Nets plus 220. Magic 3-1. Heat plus 360. Knicks 5-1. Raptors plus 750. Cavs 16-1.
And I'm back.
Yeah, you are.
All right, so in the East, and thank you, Kelly, right now you have the reason, again, that the Bulls are such prohibitive favorites to be in the play-in is because they're six games worse in the loss column than the number six team, the Magic, and they're five games better in the loss column than the number 11 team, the Brooklyn Nets. So for them to either get ahead of the play-in or fall out of the play-in to the bottom would be a ridiculous turn of events. That's why they are what they are. But this is pretty pronounced. I mean, you have the real question is not on the bottom side, right? Because on the bottom side, Brooklyn and Toronto, still three games clear in the loss column. Brooklyn is of Atlanta.
So that's where I want to start, though, because and this number moved from yesterday. Of course, like, we write down notes and then games occur last night, and, you know, these odds change. But yesterday when I wrote down this team, they were minus 155, and now they're minus 215 on here. It is the Atlanta Hawks because they're at the bottom end of that. I know where Trae Young is out. He will be out. They are 2.5 games clear of the Nets. I mean, you definitely don't have to worry about them playing in. Well, I shouldn't. No, you definitely don't have to worry about them playing into the top six. Your only worry would be if they fall out. This Raptors team is so injured, though, and this Nets team has just been brutally bad recently. Even with no Trae Young, I think the Hawks are going to end up limping in there.
Well, and that's the thing. So what I was getting at is that on the bottom side, there is a quarter of the season left. You have 20 games roughly left in the season. So these things could change. But on the bottom side of the Eastern Conference play-in, the 10 to the 11, that is, there is a three-game gap in the loss column between the Hawks and the Nets. It's on the top side where it is a free-for-all.
Yeah.
So Boston, Milwaukee, Cleveland clear at the top. But after that, starting with the fourth-place New York Knicks and the fifth-place Philadelphia 76ers, each struggling with injuries, Knicks have 25 losses. Sixers have 25 losses. Orlando in sixth place has 26 losses. Miami in seventh, where the play-in begins, 26 losses. So right there, that's four teams separated by one game in the loss column between the fourth to the seventh.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Indiana just two games behind that in the loss column. So that's where the real intrigue sort of sets in. One of those teams, or excuse me, if we take the Hawks out of that, one of those four teams, New York, Philly, Orlando, and Miami, is not going to make the playoffs. They're going to end up in the play-in. And the question becomes of those four teams, is there a bet? So of those teams,
well, I would say even stretch it to five, include the Pacers.
Well, I did, yeah. Oh, okay. But I'm just saying, for the purposes here, the Pacers are minus 390 because they're the two games behind, right? So they're more entrenched.
Correct.
But of those four teams I just mentioned, which are only separated by one game, the Sixers are minus 240, again, because Embiid is not close. The Magic are plus 300. They're teetering. The Knicks are 5-1. And the Heat are, where are the Heat? Plus 360.
Yeah.
All right. So that's to get in the play-in tournament, which means in most of these cases to fall into it.
Yeah.
So it's funny how your brain has to sort of shift on this. And then when it comes to schedule, so what you're looking at, okay, who's got the toughest schedule? Really, the injuries are the headline here.
They are. Yeah. And I would say my biggest takeaway of all of this is just, man, this, because you keep making the point with how much time is left.
Yeah, still enough time.
Some of this pricing feels very aggressive. on a couple of
very
these teams.
Aggressive. Because like, this could change starkly.
Like, even the Knicks, I'll bring up, at 5-1 with all the injuries they're battling through right now, you're talking about 1.5 games that they, a 1.5 game lead they have over the Heat that are in the seventh seed right now. Like, if you told me you wanted to grab a couple of these longer, like, you know, these 3-1s and gobble them up and hopefully that, you know, hopefully these flip through over the next few weeks. The next 20 games, I think you could have a chance to have some nice plus prices in this market.
The thing about it, though, is you're not getting helped by the schedule. So what you would be hoping for is tough schedule for some of the teams that are either 4, 5, or 6.
Correct.
So that they would fall into the 7-10. But you don't really have that. The Knicks have a middling, like actually just on the easy side of middle. Orlando has the third easiest schedule the rest of the way.
Yeah, they're the one I'm not bringing up. I think they're the one I'm actually like the most confident of that group is going to finish.
The Heat have the second easiest schedule, right? So that's why they're plus money also.
That's why you have the Magic and Heat priced that way.
Is there any chance you would think about the Knicks at 5-1?
I'm not going to bet it. I don't think it would be absurd, though. I don't
either.
I mean, how can I just don't know how you can say the 76ers are -240,
right?
And the Knicks are +500 when there's a half game difference between the two right now. Embiid's a bigger loss, but they're still. I mean, the Knicks are banged up right now.
And I know there's a lot of people who really like the Knicks, but they're banged up. And again,
I love them.
They have 25 losses. The team in seventh. The Heat has 26 losses.
Right.
So you're not really talking about them sucking the rest of the way. They could still manage to get in there just by being okay or just sub-okay, and you're getting them at 5-1.
So this is kind of my point, Gil. What happens with all these teams that are clumped this closely together? What these standings could shift slightly in a week's time, and we're looking at
these
odds.
And these prices will be completely different.
The Knicks, based off this, you're telling me the Knicks could be -200 in you know a week's time.
Do the West later?
Yeah, we'll do the West later.
All right.
They are fascinating to look at.
Yeah, because these, you know, you're right. You said it with the right word. Aggressive pricing.
Yeah.
Here on these. Odds to participate in the play, and good on DraftKings for having them up. We'll do the West a little later on. Paul Carr will join us on the other side at Champions League plays. He's got some thoughts. He's at spring training, too, in Arizona. This dude. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember to use promo code ANG.
ANG, like a numbers game. Get your subscription now. They're going quick.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. We got tweets at beating the book. Chris Hartman. Gents, please remind me why Caleb is hands down number one pick. His best season under Lincoln Riley was worse than both Baker and Kyler's, like 2 yards per attempt worse. Is it because he's a whole half an inch taller than Baker? Chicago should be open for business. Thanks again. Listen, I think the thing with the draft, again, is it's the most inexact science ever. Nobody knows anything. We had Merrill Hodge on the show from Media Row the day before this, or a couple days before the Super Bowl, and he said, and he gets everything right. Like, he had C.J. Stroud as the only quarterback that should have been picked in the first round last year. He famously said that Johnny Manziel would be a bust. He said Khalil Mack would be better than Jadeveon Clowney. He said, Caleb Williams is, quote, nothing special, unquote. So, again, we'll see. Brian M. missed the first hour in a meeting today. Did you see Simona Halep's ban was reduced and she's immediately cleared to return to tennis? Yes. For tennis hardos out there, first of all, a couple tennis announcements. One, Simona Halep, who had a 4-year ban, Kelly, it was reduced to 9 months. She was one of the best players in the world. Last played in the 2022 U.S. Open. She was banned for the substance, I want to get this right, because you're on it currently, so I want everybody to know. Roxa Dustat, you're on that, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. Sure. Yeah, totally.
She is eligible to play now.
You know what I don't get about the, like, so she's...
They said it wasn't entirely her fault, is what they said.
Oh, that's the ruling?
Yep.
So, like, so because of that wording, she can't go back and sue them for, like, I never, what the part I don't understand these things, when they overturn stuff like that,
yeah,
I would be going crazy with lawyers.
It's a great point.
You stole that much time away from my career, and now you're saying you made a mistake?
Had she had to serve it out, she'd have been 35 years old in 2026. Now she gets to play. You know, and by the way, Drew Dinsick and I are doing the Indian Wells podcast, tennis's de facto fifth major, which starts tomorrow. They only did the draw yesterday, and books sort of slow to roll out futures and round one odds. They're kind of now getting spread out there, so they're just now proliferating. Don't have any quarters yet that I see. But we're doing it a little after the show today, some hours. Why? Because Drew is on the slopes.
Hence him not being on the show today, yeah.
But he's probably, you know what, it's probably a good deal that it was, because we wouldn't have everything available to us if we did the podcast right afterwards. Right, hence him not being on the show, exactly.
He's got a couple of black diamonds he's got to carve up today, okay, come on.
He's got a good life. You know who else has a good life? And this is, as reflected in this tweet, Michael Burns. Paul Carr at spring training. Sounded like a hint of jealousy in young Gil's voice. You are correct. He is at spring training. It's Paul Carr, everybody, from True Media Networks and the Expected Value Podcast. How you doing, Paul?
It's another beautiful day in Arizona, Gil. High in the low 70s, sun's out, baseball's in the air. Couldn't be better.
Ah, what a time. Mark, you were saying off air, March is your favorite sports month. This is, for those of us who sort of did Sloan all those years at MIT, it used to be Sloan Sports Conference followed by, like, spring training in Arizona. And now that I live in Vegas, it's like a choice between, do I go to Indian Wells, do I go to spring training? And then when the tournament starts, though, that goes all out the window. You can't go anywhere. But what a month. What's the weather like right now? What's the temperature?
It's just perfect. Like right now it's 64 or something. It's going to creep up to 70, 72 today, something like that. And
beautiful.
March is the best. It's NCAA tournament. It's the start of baseball. For me, it's Champions League knockout stage begins, which just is one of my favorite soccer things. So it's all coming together. It's great.
All right. And you're meeting with baseball teams with True Media Networks out there?
Yep. Yeah, just driving around. Mostly, you know, teams are just getting their processes in place. So we're showing them, here's how you can use the site. This can help you with this, things like that. Because they're just nailing down everything they're going to do, you know, every day for 162 games or 100 minor league games or whatever it might be. So just helping everyone get organized before the season.
Fantastic. Fantastic. All right. Travel annoyance. You had one, you said?
Yeah. Okay, here's mine. So I fly Southwest a lot because it's often the best option out of Kansas City, and they do boarding a little differently. You know, everyone gets a number, A1 through 30, B1 through 30, and you're supposed to line up in that order. They have these nice little signs that break people into groups of five to make it easy. But what bothers me is the people that ignore these signs and just get anywhere in that letter, they have like, you know, if you have A25 and you're at A24, that's fine, whatever. But you have like A58, and you get in front at A30, and then you make the joke about how we're all going the same place. And that's not the point, Gil. We're living in a society here.
That's
get in
right.
Order.
That's a very uniquely Southwest problem. And people fall under in two categories. There's the, it doesn't matter. We're all just trying to get on the plane. Whatever, get in front of me.
Right.
The people who take that attitude. And so if you're the other person who's a stickler and like, no, I'm B2 and you're B6.
Right.
Get four places behind me. So there's that little thing.
Even the ones that do the groups, it gets like it's annoying. Even when you're like in group, all right, boarding group A is first. The guy that's in E's got is waiting by the door, ready to go.
Yep.
Paul. Yeah, and when those people snipe my exit row seat on Southwest or something, then I'm really mad.
I mean, those are fighting words right there. You steal an exit row seat, oh boy.
Yep.
I do the exit row thing where I get, like, way too serious about it, where I do the gag where I'm like, I have responsibilities here on my exit row. Please, everybody file away. All right. Now, these three Champions League plays that you have, one today, two tomorrow. Now, let's full disclosure, you don't love any of these? Is that a fair characterization?
That's fair. This is a tough week. I mean, second legs are always squirrely because, again, you can draw in advance, so you know the best team isn't as incentivized to win. These are also 90-minute bets, not extra time, so you know that gets a little weird. I'm trying to think through that, and just looking at the numbers, sometimes you just get confused. Like, why isn't this best team favored by what they would normally be? So that's part of it. And just the, you know, the first legs are all pretty low scoring, so it just sets up a lot of different possibilities in these second legs. So yeah, I'm not in love with any of these. I'm still playing them, but I'm not going as hard as I might have otherwise.
Okay, let's sort of flesh that out about the scoring for people who don't really know what we're talking about format-wise. Today, yep. Real Sociedad taking on PSG. What's your play here?
Yeah, so PSG won this first leg 2-0. So that means PSG advances as long as they don't lose by at least two goals. So, you know, PSG, again, not super incentivized to go get a bunch of goals. Also, Kylian Mbappe, their best player, he's agreed to join Real Madrid this summer. And then the last couple of games, he's been subbed off early. So there's, is he going to start? I don't know how long he's going to play. So if you want to wait for lineups to maybe play the under 2.5, like I did, I don't mind that. I played it at -115. Sociedad's going to try and win this game 2-0 and get to extra time. Their defense is okay over the season, fifth in La Liga. And like I said, PSG doesn't have to go get goals. So I think this PSG is just going to try to slog this one out and get out of here with a 0-0, 1-0, either way type of game. So I like under 2.5 at -115.
Right. So PSG, even if they're down a goal, right, they can still, that's still fine with them. For your purposes,
correct,
you want it to be 1-0, right? But
right, yeah.
Okay, but that's again, with second legs, these are always the things you have to consider. All right, tomorrow, Man City. By the way, congratulations on your 3-0 the other day on the show. I should have probably started there. Nice job.
Yeah, ran the Premier League weekend, and, well got a stoppage time winner for Man City to get the third one. So
yeah.
Not bad. We'll take it.
Well, that's what reminded me of it when I saw Man City come up here on the board. So tomorrow, Man City taking on Copenhagen. Man City having won the first game 3-1.
Yep. So this one's relatively straightforward from a scenario standpoint. City's going through unless they lose by at least two goals, which is not happening at home. I think they're like -100,000 to advance or something like that, at least at one place. So, I got Man City winning the nil here, +155. Not totally sure who City's going to start. You know, they may rest some of their better players and only, you know, bring on De Bruyne or Haaland if they have to in the second half to get a goal. But I still like City. Again, they're just going to take care of business here. You know, Copenhagen's the worst team left in this knockout round, and Man City just, again, take care of business. The win to nil, +155, I like.
Win to nil. Okay. Now, I always love a good one here like this for big plus money. Real Madrid and Leipzig. First go-round, Real Madrid won it 1-0. What do you like here?
So, yeah, you know, anytime the draw gets over +300, that it's kind of like catnip to me. So I like the Real Madrid-Leipzig draw a little bit at +350. And the score comes into play here. Real Madrid 1-0. They won the first leg on the road, even though it was really even. Diaz had a great goal for Real Madrid. RB Leipzig is sort of a, I don't know, a mid-major that's not scared of anyone. You know, St. Mary's type, something like that.
Okay.
I mean, they play in the good league in Germany, obviously, but they're an up-and-coming club over the last decade. They just don't park the bus on the road. You know, they've gone for it or tried to, you know, go toe-to-toe with Bayern and Leverkusen and et cetera this year in the Bundesliga. And they have some firepower. Luis Openda is a Belgian guy who scored 6 in his last 7 Bundesliga games for them. So, yeah, Madrid is fine with a 1-1 game. They'd advance. And I don't think Madrid's going to go out because he can't kill Real Madrid. So, draw, +350.
All right, Real Sociedad PSG under 2.5 today. Man City win to nil over Copenhagen tomorrow. And Real Madrid Leipzig draw, +350. Let's get that tomorrow. Paul, enjoy Arizona. I'm jelly, man.
I will. Let's go.
Paul Carr, everybody, at Paul Carr on Twitter, C-A-R-R. Western Conference playing on the other side. This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app and use promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Headphones are shot, Kelly. Come through one ear.
Oh, okay. The D is a great spot, by the way. If you need to figure out if there's any early action in the day, it's always whether we got bettors lining up here or not. So do we have early college hoops games going, I'm guessing?
Yep.
Yeah.
Do we have early?
And soccer.
Actually, do we have early?
I don't know. That's what I just assumed based off of seeing four people go up and make bets.
That's your...
It might be soccer, I guess. It could just be Champions League.
College basketball today, there is not an early game.
I guessed wrong.
Yeah. Didn't think so.
Sold these better short.
Next week, tons of early games. This week, not so much. Okay, we did Eastern Conference play-in markets in the NBA earlier on the show. Let's talk Western Conference, where again, this is setting up to be, don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but the Western Conference playoffs this year in the NBA is setting up to be the greatest thing ever because it's 1-10 deep.
It's crazy. Now that the what you said last there matters for this.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. The difference between 10th and 11th in the West, I mean, it's done.
Well, we made a big deal about it in the East where it was 2.5 games. We're talking 5 games out West.
6 in the loss column. Golden State has 28 losses, and they're in 10th. Utah has 34 losses. They're in 11th. So nobody's fallen out. I mean, there's 20 games left and a 6-game difference. Chances are nobody's fallen
out
in that
direction. It's those 10 teams.
It's those 10 teams. That's right, with the Lakers being 9 and Golden State 10 at this moment. Now, on the other side of that, that's where the drama is in this market. So much like with the Eastern Conference, where there was a glut between 4 and 7, we have a glut here between 5 and 10, quite frankly. The 5th place Pelicans have 25 losses. 6th place Suns, 26, as do the 7th place Kings. 8th place Mavs, 27. 10th place Warriors, 28. 9th place Lakers, 29. Because, again, the Lakers have played 3 more games than the Warriors have. So, 4 games in the loss column, different amounts of games played between the 5th-seeded Pelicans and the 10th-seeded Warriors.
Yeah, what's funny is this has gotten even more jumbled here recently because you've had the Clippers kind of slide back from those top, you know, it was a top 4 for a while with them. They're kind of moved back a little bit now, 3 games out of first place. So they're kind of in that middle range by themselves at 4 right now. But yeah, that Pelicans to Warriors, like even that, I mean, Pelicans are 6-4 in their last 10. Suns 5-5, Kings 5-5, Mavericks 6-4. So they've all come back to the you know, all of a sudden surging Lakers and Warriors here. So, I mean, it feels like just last week I was saying I didn't think there was any way the Lakers or Warriors could possibly play their way out of a play-in position. The odds have surely changed on that, and it makes sense because it's not as much work that they have to do for one of those teams to possibly get out of there.
Lakers and Warriors, huge favorites to be in the play-in. Makes sense.
Yeah, still the most likely.
Still the most likely. Could very easily play themselves into a 6th seed, though. Again, only 2 and 3 games difference between the 6th place Suns and the 10th and 9th place Warriors and Lakers in the loss column. The reason I say 10th and 9th is the Warriors actually have one fewer loss right now than the Lakers. But if you do it by strength of schedule, here's where it gets interesting. Phoenix, the reason that Phoenix is -265 and they're currently in 6th, part of that reason is they got the toughest remaining schedule in all the NBA.
Yep.
Their opponent's aggregate win percentage is .577. And again, Devin Booker still not back on the court. The big three has just played, I mean, not even 25 games together this year, something like that.
Yeah, right up around that.
So Suns are -285 to fall into the play-in tournament. That makes sense based on the schedule. New Orleans, +155 to fall in. Remember, they're the current 5th seed. Sacramento and Dallas, respectively, -145 and -220 to remain. So is there a bet at all here?
I think the Kings are interesting.
Kings are interesting to be in it.
This is another one. When I was writing this down yesterday, it was +110. They go and lose last night, move to -145 in the market. I think they'd be the team, if I was going to bet anything here, it would be the Sacramento Kings. Currently in the 7th seed. The Mavericks number feels... that feels chalky to me at -220. They're the team I could see playing themselves out of the play-in tournament and getting back into that top 6 where they were for a while. They're not dealing with the same type of injuries that Phoenix is. The Devin Booker, him missing time here is going to be major, major factor on top of the fact, like you said, they got the toughest schedule of all these teams that we're talking about. I don't feel like New Orleans is going to fall out, and I feel like Dallas is going to work itself back in, so it leaves Sacramento and Phoenix falling into that play-in tournament with the Lakers and the Warriors.
Was there a no on the play-in?
No.
Just
no,
yeses?
Just yeses.
Because I was going to say, what's the Lakers
well,
no?
This is the one that, this is the market I want instead of, like, if you're going to do... If you're going to do this market and you're going to do yes-no playoffs...
You should do a yes-no here, too.
Or give me the top six to be a top 60.
Because yeah. The Lakers' no would be interesting because minus 650, yes, to be the play-in. But what would their no be? Because they do have an easy schedule, right? They have the eighth easiest remaining schedule in the NBA. So if you're a Lakers person, not saying I would, but if you're a Lakers person, that might be interesting to you.
You could, let's see, what are they to make the playoffs? I mean, they're minus 135 to make the playoffs.
Are you seeing a make-miss playoffs up right now?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, there it is. Okay. So, here's the thing about, let's just go from this market to another one for a second. This is something we talked about with Drew last week, and I'm scrolling for right now. Phoenix Suns to
miss
is still plus 195. Still plus 195. So not negligible plus money. They're in the sixth spot. They have 26 losses. Again, the Lakers have 29 in ninth. The Warriors have 28th. We already said Phoenix has the toughest schedule remaining in the entire NBA. Could they? But the thing is, no, to miss it, they'd have to. They're not going to miss the playoffs. They're not going to miss the playoffs because they'd have to clear Utah to miss the playoffs.
No, the make the playoffs get settled after the play-in tournament.
Oh, after, I'm sorry, I got confused. Yeah. So make the playoffs. So,
I wish they would post a top six seed.
No, you're right, I got confused. So plus one, to make the playoffs, that's the distinction. Seven plays eight, as Kelly said, seven's in as the seventh seed. Nine plays 10. Loser of 7-8 plays winner of 9-10 to determine the eighth playoff position. Those then are officially called the playoffs.
Correct.
At that point. So if the Suns fall into the play-in and then get bounced from the play-in, that's how they miss the playoffs.
So that this is I always yell for that market because I think the play-in tournament has been great adding it.
Yeah.
Yes, no playoffs become so much more difficult to bet now because you almost don't want to touch a team on the yes or the no side that might fall in the play-in tournament.
Right, because it's single elimination if you're 9-10. It's double elimination if you're 7-8.
At best, you're getting double elimination.
Would you play the Suns at plus 195? Or the big three intact still good to win a single basketball game or one of two basketball games?
I have to believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that, yes.
Okay, so of all this, East and West then, I think the Knicks 5-1 is the bet I like the most.
That's where, I mean, the Eastern Conference.
To participate in the play-in.
These specifically, I think the Eastern Conference, some of those longer odds ones, you could,
yes.
It's not that they're going to necessarily get home, right? But what does this market look like a week from now with how jumbled those teams are?
1,000%. And that's why those Western Conference teams were priced pretty well.
Yeah.
But the opportunity, and again, am I saying that it's likely that this happens with the Knicks? Well, no, but 5-1 is too long. So, again, with the injuries, with the fact that they just don't have that big of a lead in the loss column, this, as Kelly said, this could change very dramatically here. And there's 20 games to be played.
Yes.
I mean, that's an eternity when it comes to this kind of thing where you're just jockeying for seeding.
Yep.
Because that stuff changes every night.
Well, that's right. The numbers I wrote down, they moved 50 cents based off of results last night.
Yeah.
That's one night. A week, who knows?
It is very true, though. Sports books could have so many different markets from this. Yes, no play-in.
Yeah.
Yes, no playoffs.
To make the top six. To be out of the top 10.
Right.
That one's not as fun.
Not as fun. Right, but yeah.
Still applies.
Now. But I do think that's it. Knicks 5-1 would be the only thing I would hazard a guess on. You have a sixth man of the year play.
I do. I did bet Norman Powell yesterday. Maybe we'll swing back that tomorrow. I just don't understand why Malik Monk is as big of a favorite as he is. Two bets for me tonight in the association. Did lay it with the Celtics. We talked about that with JVT earlier. I also laid it with the Pelicans. It's out to 9. I think I'd still go there, though. The Raptors really banged up right now.
All right. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.